Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water. All with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger. Fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Hey guys, welcome to Knife Talk, podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, and everybody else, DIYers, whatever. We're here to keep you company and talk knives, hopefully, and, you know, all that other stuff. I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. With me is Marco Momassi, Momassi Fire Arts, and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. We're going to be short this week because there's all sorts of fires going right now. Craig, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good, thank you. Yes, we've the whole family have got over the sort of flu over the last sort of 2 weeks, so fighting fit, feeling good.
There you go. How was your week?
Okay. It was, yeah, nothing exciting happening. Same old, really. Yeah. Well, this is a quick intro, isn't it?
This will be certainly a fast show. No problem. Marco, how's your weekend? How's your week? How you doing? What's going on?
Weekend's good. Week's been good, low-key. Playing with some... I've been having actually some issues with my coffee etch, but I think part of the problem is that I just haven't been making it the same concentration as I normally do. And part of that is because I've been hearing from friends who also do the coffee etch and get great results, saying that they're using a lower dilution and or less coffee, I guess, basically. And I've been playing with that, and it's not working for me. So I actually have a knife. I have to strip it off the coffee finish and get back in there and re-etch it, which is kind of a drag because I had it, like, basically ready to sharpen and ship. So I got to strip off all like the kind of like the blade finish stuff I put on and some of the handle finish. And I got to redo the handle finish after I etch the blade and then redo like wax out the blade and all that shit. But other than that, I put out the video finally of me doing the seated grinding thing. It's been interesting seeing the conversation around it. I just want to clear one little thing up. I think a lot of people are thinking that I'm inventing this, and I'm definitely not inventing this. There have been makers who've been doing this since time immemorial. I think the oldest picture I've ever seen of people not standing and grinding knives is from a French factory where they're all laying on boards, and some of them have dogs like helping to like counterbalance or keep them warm while they're hovering over a giant stone and grinding blades. So this is not a new invention at all. This was just kind of my first attempt at it, and the biggest reason it's been my first go at it is because I've never had a grinder with a platen that could really kind of like tilt forward the way the Broadbeck does. And I've only done a little bit of it, but it was a little bit awkward at first, but I think with time, with practice, as well as building up some arm muscle strength, because instead of like standing at the grinder and pushing kind of towards the wall, you're kind of pushing at a more upward direction. And so you're using more of your arms rather than your body weight. But it'll be fine. I think it'll be, if it helps save my back, I think it's, I need a little muscles tone in my arms anyways.
Thought about rebuilding that whole system where you build a scaffolding and have the grinder underneath you and then just like hang your arms down and go from top down like that picture?
Yeah.
So that's the next move. Someone's going to figure that out.
Well, and I've had some people send me some messages thinking they were being funny. But they were like, set it up underneath the massage table. So you even have like the face rest. And I was like, I've actually thought of that. But the problem is that if it was just one grinder of several that was dedicated just for grinding, maybe I can get away with that. But it's not. And so
it could be on wheels. And you just go back and forth between your grinders.
Just call Vince. Let's send him another one. Vince, he needs a dedicated yoga. He needs a massage
dedicated
table.
Reiki grinder. table.
Vince, come on. He's going
to
come up with a new system of grinding that's going to be the Mareko laydown method. He's going to be lying down. The grinder's going to be facing up. Instead, the platen. Here you go. Here's how Broadbeck makes it happen.
The flat out platen.
And the platen's going to be facing up. Dude. Mm. We've saved you again, Broadback. I'm with you.
Knife Talk
10 for the stand-up, the sit-down, lie-down grinder.
Or you get some sort of pulling like a sex swing, you know?
Craig, why you got to go there? Right off the bat. Jesus Christ. You don't have that much time. You're going to go right 5 minutes and go into the sex swing? All right.
So the reason I try to do it, figure this out with my standard setup is because I know that I'm going to be using this grinder for other processes like buffing knives or, you know, using other various attachments that Broadbeck offers. You know, I'm not going to use the surface grinder laying down or with the fucking grinder above me. You know, I'm going to have to do some of those things in the more standard position. But the thing that really kills my body is when I'm standing at the grinder for long periods of time, either grinding a blade or sculpting a handle, and with my neck craned over. Those are the times that really kill me, and that's why I've really tried to figure this out. And also trying to figure it out without having to do too much crazy stuff with the grinder, like jacking up really high or putting it down really low, because I know I'm going to still need it for other shit. So,
cool.
That's my week.
Nice. Jeff, your week. What's been going on?
Dude, I am fucking tired. I'm so tired. This week has been relentless. That's the word, relentless. Now we've just been like it's been meeting after meeting. Now that we have this new customer service person who's been amazing, it's been like she's been shaking the trees like it's never been shook before, and it's like we're getting all these overwhelming jobs that I'm not saying no to, which is great. But then there's a sculpture that I have to do that I don't want to do, but now an arts organization is involved and I'm going to have to do it, and I'm going to have to like lock a month out in the winter to do it, and I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And they dangled just a shit ton of money in front of me, and I was just like,
oh boy,
god damn it. And it's like
life-changing money?
No, not life-changing money. 20? It's keeping 30? everybody employed for a while money. You know, it's like, you know, this is, you know, we're probably going to get into it in some of the questions in regards to, you know, the things that you do for money and stuff like that. But it's interesting because, like, I didn't want to do it, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, you know, things are going well, and I want this person to kind of feel comfortable being here, and business is doing okay. I want to make sure this would be a job that would make sure that we would have her for a while, and Tony, and maybe even have a little bit extra dough for all of us. So it was like, I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to do it for the sake of everybody. Plus, you know, it's good to do. I'm getting ready to do Maker Camp, and my shop is a shit house right now. I did just the regular work to try to get everything glued up so I could sit around for the weekend drying. And then I have my truck. I'm in the truck. Everything's loaded, anvils, and I got forges and tools and process boards and all this stuff. 15 minutes before we started doing this. And then last night I got a call from merch. This is the first event I've actually been forward thinking and like made sure I had merch to take with me. So we bought all this merch, and there was this worry that the supply chain was going to make sure I wouldn't get anything. And then I get this call yesterday. I got everything out of your hats and your hoodies. Everything's here. So I ran over there, brought it all home, bagged everything, because the last thing I want to do is be folding sweatshirts at the goddamn maker camp with my filthy hands. And then I get these bags that you just bag everything up, put the you know, size on it, and then I can ship them too. And let me tell you, this is Friday before Maker Camp. This episode's coming out on Monday. I'm already irritated. I haven't even been there yet, and I'm irritated. And I'm hoping that's going to change. I'm sure it will, but I'm irritated. And one of the reasons why I'm irritated, our friend Chris Zepp drove me crazy last night. Chris Zepp, Make Everything Shop, saw that I had hoodies that I'm going to bring up for hoodies and hats to bring up to Maker Camp. And he says, hey, I want one of those hoodies. How much are they? I told him the price. He said, great. I said, I'll be up there. Next thing you know, I get a bing on my phone. It says, you have X amount of dollars in your Venmo account. And I look to myself, I think to myself, I don't have a Venmo account. So I call up Chris. I'm like, Chris, what did you do? And he's like, I I Venmo'd you money. I said, well, I don't have a Venmo. And he goes, well, now you're going to have to get a Venmo. And I said, schmuck, I didn't tell you to start sending me money. And he's like, oh, that's good for you. And I'm like, I don't want – we have a Venmo for Fader Knives. My wife's got a Venmo. My kid's got a Venmo. I don't want it. I don't want anything. I don't want extra. So, like, I said, what's the matter with you, Chris? Chris Zepp is the greatest, but he's the kind of guy when, there's the old expression, if you have a problem, throw money and it goes away. He just throws money at anything. He just starts sending me money. I'm like, motherfucker.
Chris, give me a call. Give me a call, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's like putting money in an envelope and hoping it gets to your house. It's just like, what did you do? So that's number one. And then number two is, and this is a blacksmithing thing that I want our listeners to listen to. If you start to get involved in the anvil selling business, do me a favor. You better learn how to fucking forge, because everybody is selling used anvils at ridiculously high prices. Mm. And I'm getting messages from people that I know who I know aren't blacksmiths. And they say, hey, I got these anvils. You're interested in this. What's that price? And I'm getting these like per pound prices that are like astronomical. And I'm looking at the thing and I'm seeing it. And I'm like, dude, why are these prices so high? He's like, oh, I'm charging $5 a pound, $6 a pound. And I was like, yeah, but why am I have to paying for the worst part, the worst pounds, the
yeah,
the face?
Not the premium pounds.
I'm paying for the shitty pounds on the front. I don't want the fucking good pounds on the front. You can't charge people these crazy prices for anvils that look like shit, especially if you've never forged before. It's obnoxious. So if you see someone that says, I have an anvil, it's in good shape, that person better know how to fucking forge, and they better show you how to forge, and then I have to look for an area that's not chipped and cracked. I'm irritated. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm irritated. Jeez. I'm already irritated.
When are you leaving for Maker Camp?
Tomorrow morning at like stupid o'clock. Stupid o'clock in the morning.
Have a good sleep tonight. Calm yourself. Maybe have a little drink.
Oh, no, no.
Deep sleep, and you'll be fine.
I'm fine. All I have to do now is load all the... I'm bringing so much merch. It's like I'm a rag salesman. I never hate merch. It's such a pain in the ass. I had to go get change and make sure no one's going to... Oh, do you have change? I don't want any of it. Maybe I should get Venmo.
Maybe you just say Venmo. No Maybe. Change. So they either pay
I
you
made
exact,
it so we're down to we're down extra. To we're down to on the fives. There's no like, we're down to 20 and 25 and 40. That's it.
Hmm. Round up. Always round up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Whilst we're talking about money, we can save you some money. You obviously need a kiln. If you're making knives, you're going to need a good oven. And even heat. Make the best. So we can get your money off. So Soul Ceramics, we've partnered up with. They are a distributor of Even Heat kilns. And we can get a discount if you order via them. So you'll get $75 off your order, and you can spec up the machine exactly how you want it. $75 off and free shipping in the US. So if you go to knifetalk.net/heat, that'll automatically take you to Soul Ceramics. It'll automatically apply the discounts, and you'll be set. So get yourself one of the best, well, the best oven in the world.
And
right.
Just P.S. I'm very excited about it going. I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm very excited about seeing all of our friends in Maker Camp. I'm just right now. Mm. I've just inhaled too much dirt or something like that because I'm a little bit salty. So I apologize.
How big an event is it? How many will be there?
There's gonna be a lot of people there. The last time we went, there was a few hundred visitors, and there wasn't as many exhibitors. This time, it's like four or five times more exhibitors, and a lot of people that you know. And it's going to be, and it's, if between you and me, there's too many blacksmiths, that's just me. I mean, it's like, it's turned into a blacksmith camp, but fine. I'm not bitter. And it'll be a lot of people. It should be a lot of fun. So, and it's the first thing that's really happened since the pandemic that people are like pumped about, and it's outdoors. So it's like,
nice.
It's going to be cool.
Cool. Okay. What's on the agenda for today? What have we got?
Well, we have tough scenarios answered honestly or phony. We have some Knife Talk listener feedback, and we have some regular regular questions. So it's really up to you.
Okay, I'll tell you. Let's start with the question. I'll start with the first one here, which I think is from Gjer Drum Knives. I think GJER Drum Knives. Okay, hi guys. I have a question for you, cuties. I have some really pretty 4mm thick copper plates. It's from a 100-year-old Bowmore still. It's been used by a friend of mine working as a contractor for Aston Martin to make inlays and other decorations for the Aston Martin DBX Bowmore edition. So it's pretty special stuff. He gave the scraps to me. The question is, what do I do with it to make to give it justice? What would you guys have done? Oh, this is right up my street, this kind of stuff. So he's got the special material. What would you do with it? Mareko, any ideas? 4 mil thick copper plates.
How thick is 4 mil?
4 mil is...
just under a quarter inch. It's about 200 thousandths.
Well, that's I believe. End part doesn't do me any good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say if you've got loads of it, get in touch. I'll happily buy some from you because they'd make perfect folders for me. But I'm just saying. Just saying.
Oh.
Just saying.
Don't get the hook.
Mareko, what? Any ideas?
Yeah, I've repurposed materials like this before. I've used them as kind of like the top spacer as the transition from the blade into like a more traditional like Japanese style handle. So right there at the shoulders of the blade before it transitions to the tang. You know, actually what could be cool is kind of along the lines of what Jeff's doing with his color lab. I've seen people do pennies in the side, and I don't know if there's any distinctive portions of the scraps that have any impressions or anything on them, but to cut out circles and basically do those as inlays in the handle would be cool, or even the like a pommel cap would be cool. Mm. I think they're too thick for liners. That would be a huge pain in the ass. And copper is funny. Like, it heats up incredibly fast through friction. And so you want to try to do as much cutting, especially if you use it like at the front of the handle. You want to do as much of the cutting and grinding before you actually attach the wood and or even glue it up, because even just the heat that transfers through the copper down to the blade or down to the tang or into like the other parts that are glued together, it can be pretty extreme, and it can start causing those to fail.
I've done some testing with copper and brass, just with epoxies to see how this is sticking, and even the heat generated by them can make them almost too hot to touch.
Yeah,
you know, because it translates that heat so readily. It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe trying to use them in a way that isn't necessarily integral to the actual construction of the handle, and more as an accent, I guess.
Yeah. Hmm. Jeff, what would you do? 4 mil thick copper plates.
I don't know. I mean, you guys answered all the questions nice. I don't know. We're
experts. We're what we do.
Listen, I kind of 100% agree with what Marek was saying in terms of they're so easy to heat up that if you hit them on the grinder, and if your belt isn't like real, real sharp, it's gonna, and if you have any epoxy in there, it's just gonna, you know, burn off. And I don't even like using I've used copper Corbies, and it's nothing but it's kind of a production.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, I don't know, I like the idea of, if it's a quarter of inch thick, I guess I like the idea of making, maybe I would try to figure out a way to make them into like lanyard tubes or something, you know. I don't know if I can even do that, but you know, some sort of washer, maybe a washer and a friction folder. That's 4 mil thick, pretty. I'd have to
pretty thick. Yeah.
Or you could forge them down a little bit. You could probably, you know what? I know some people, we've done forged copper leaves. Maybe I might, you know, forge them down, do something with them, make some texture or something. I'd probably fuck them up, be honest with you. Mm. If you really want to know, I'm going to fuck them up. I'm going to send them all to Craig. I'm going to send my batch to Craig.
That'd be very kind. Right. Like Alex Pohl is using a lot of copper at the moment, and he's put that sort of hammered finish to it. It looks beautiful. So, I mean, if you're not thinking of knives, you're thinking of other stuff, there's plenty you could do there with you know, plates.
They sent me one of their coffee scoops with the copper bowl. They're amazing. They are, they are flawless.
They look awesome. Yeah.
They are super awesome. Whatever Alex Pohl and Moonshine and Joe are doing, and they're doing a great job. And their book, Blacksmith's, coming out. So, very excited about that.
Yes. Right, Mareko, do you want to take the next question?
Yeah, the next question is from Celery Patch Knives. He says, can you please go over the different outcomes between 304, 316, 410, 416, etc. stainless steels when used as cladding in SanMai? Do some have different carbon migrations while others forge easier? Do some polish up nicer than others? I've had some success with 304 over 1084. Would I benefit from trying other combinations? Jesus Christ, this is a long question. Also,
he's about to compliment you, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, okay. This is the part I don't like hearing. Also, I'd just like to acknowledge Mareko for utilizing his platform to assist those with mental health struggles. It's industry leaders such as yourself who help to open up the conversation that so many guys struggle to speak about. Keep up the great work, mate. You're a legend. Cheers, Ash.
Nice.
There
nice.
You go.
Thank you, Ash.
So, different stainless then, using as a cladding on SanMai. Mareko, this is all you,
yeah,
I guess.
Fuck that. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Honestly, this would be a great question for either Will Manning of, I think it's Heartwood Forge, he's based out of the South, or Greg Sims, but from what I understand, basically stainless steels that don't have carbon in them already or have a low carbon content. Like, I believe 410 and 416 both have some form of, it's carbon or the chrome, but anyways, they will leach carbon out of the core material, and it'll create a beautiful, like, clouding effect, but you are depleting the carbon content of the core material. And there's something about, I think it's 304 and the 316, it's either they lack the chrome, and they're more of a nickel-based stainless, that they don't have that as much of an issue with that. I think the best thing that you can actually do if you're trying to avoid carbon migration is to have a nickel shim. So have your core material and then a nickel shim of just nickel, not a stainless, and then stainless on top of the nickel. Not only do I think that nickel will help get those pieces all to weld together easier, but it basically acts as a complete barrier, because the nickel doesn't have anything that's trying to draw any of the carbon out of the core material. So it acts as a barrier between that core material and whatever you're using as the cladding. And then what you're using for cladding doesn't actually matter. And then beyond that, when it comes to forging, I'm not familiar with that. I've the only thing I could say is I think most of the guys do little forging. What they do of forging, you just got to try to keep it even on both sides, or roll it out or forge it out to flat stock and then stock remove from there, because it's really easy once you get down to whatever, 3/16 of an inch or something like that, for you to lose that core, for the core to get lopsided and basically preferentially end up on one side or the other when you're forging the blade out. And so stock removing and maybe doing some texturing is a better route to go. But that's what I have for SanMai. It would be great, actually, to get Will Manning. Oh, wait. You know, we had Will Manning. Didn't I do a conversation?
You had him on.
Yeah, I did. Yes, talked with Will Manning a while back. But we didn't get too deep into the actual kinds of cladding that he uses. So that would be an interesting kind of follow-up to do with him.
Get him on. I love Will.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Great follow, by the way. I think his SanMai is some of my favorite. I love his SanMai.
And just to let you know, Mareko, you do a lot for people in regards to mental health issues, and it is very, very commendable how forthcoming you are. And it does. I get messages about how helpful it is, and I want you to know that I appreciate your service to people's mental health.
Yeah, I think it's just a general. I've only in the last few years have realized that, like. And it's hard to talk about because, you know, there is kind of like stigma around it and in my own like personal shame or whatever you want to fucking call it. But honestly, like, depression has been a thing that I've struggled with most of my life, probably since I was, like, middle school and high school. I just never have been able to really sit down and, like, identify it and really understand that that's what it is until I started, you know, talking with, like, a mental health counselor. And so, you know, a lot of the stuff I share is I see it and I'm like, fuck, that's good. That's a good thing to remember or to help with reshaping perspective. And I'm like, and so then I turn around and share it out because not only do I need that reminder, but I'm sure there are other people. And I do get messages as well of people saying, thanks for sharing that. That really, I needed that today or stuff like that. So thanks.
There you go. Look at you. Work.
Okay. Well, I suppose this is along that theme, I suppose. And it's from one of the best names in the making industry, pickle cutters. As a full-time maker, I sometimes get stuck in a rut and I don't feel like being in the shop at all, like for a week or even more sometimes. How do I overcome that? Jeff, do you ever get that sort of rut where you just can't be around, you know, your stuff and you just need to do something else?
He sent me this message and I told him, you're not going to like my answer. So I might have to go last.
Okay.
He's not going to like my answer. And most of you are not going to like my answer.
I think I know what your answer is going to be. Okay. I get that a lot too. Where I am at the moment and actually in the new house as well, my workshop is in the house. So there's almost like no getting away from it. And it's sometimes it just feels like that guilt is just always just sitting there, you know, just meters away from me thinking I should be in there, I should be doing stuff. But, you know, time doesn't allow me to be in there and I just feel that guilt, you know. I suppose, but if it's a case of just feeling like you don't want to be there rather than time not allowing you to be there, I'd say maybe go in and make something else. Just make something to get that sort of feeling of making going again. And that excitement, and before you know it, you're gonna, you know, whatever you've made, you're gonna adapt, and think, maybe I've learned something here that I could, you know, maybe use with a knife or whatever it is that you're making. But yeah, just make something, anything, and if it's something that's gonna, you know, bring joy to you, and Jeff is probably squealing, because I'm saying bringing joy, because he wants you to sweat. But I think if it brings you joy, and it gets you making again, hopefully it'll bring that sort of desire back to. Back to what your real job is, making whatever it is.
Sure. I think...
Morocco, what have you got?
Yeah, I kind of touched... I believe it was either last week or the week before, but I've touched on, you know, I do get the points in whatever project I'm working on that I struggle with moving forward, and I do get into ruts myself, but I found that the key is either just straight... continuing to move forward, even though I have whatever kind of anxiety about the work that is ahead of me. And once I find I start working, even for a few minutes, I start getting into the working groove and I just keep going. The other thing is if I'm really having a hard time, I do, just like you were saying, Craig, is I kind of like I'll stop what I'm doing to make some Damascus or give myself kind of an easy win. To kind of help motivate me to kind of get into that working mode and then transition over into what I really should not be procrastinating on or what I should really be working on instead of procrastinating. And yeah, I don't know. I've always called myself the king of procrastination and it's nothing I'm proud of. I struggle with it a lot. And I think a lot of it, it's just has to do with some of the stress that around some of the builds and, you know, anxiety around making mistakes. But you just, one way or another, you just got to keep moving forward. And so whatever you can figure out for yourself.
Once you start, you often just get straight into the groove. Yeah. And the difficult part is that starting.
Yeah.
And it's almost like going to the gym, you know. It's just like, oh, I really don't want to go. But when you're there, generally, most people sort of seem to enjoy it. But yeah, I suppose it is just that starting. So brace yourself, pickle cutters.
Well, number one.
Jeff is going to tell you something completely different, I'm sure.
One thing is this week I did say to myself after hearing what you said, Morocco, as I said, go for the easy win. There was something, I had a very short window of time before I had to go from one thing to a meeting or something. And I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I thought, go for the easy win. That really does make a big difference. I mean, going for the easy win is like, you got to do it anyway. Might as well, you know, cheer yourself up. Yeah. here's the problem. We've found our hobby that we like, and then all of a sudden you get extra money. Next thing you know, you go from the concept of being part-time to being full-time instead of coming up with the idea of I'm in business or I'm not in business. I think that there are a lot of knife makers out there who have decided that this is not their full-time profession because they want to keep the joy in it. Mike Quisenberry had a nice conversation with him a while ago, and he says, I would never become a full-time knife maker because I don't want, number one is I can't make enough money, and I can't make more money than I'm making now. I think he said something like that. He's a train engineer or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is just extra money and I can do what I want and I can have fun. That's a good idea. There are other guys I had a conversation with a number of years ago, Josh Smith, right before he started. He called me up one day when he was sitting in his truck, waiting in snowy Montana, waiting for his lineman crew to show up so they could work on this freezing pole. And he called me up and we were talking. He says, yeah, I'm going to start this new business. I have to figure it out. And he and I talked for a long time about business partners and this and that and the other thing. And now all of a sudden he has, Montana Knife Company is just like a wonderful thing to watch. He had to make a decision as a business. I don't think that there's anything wrong with just not feeling compelled or not feeling that you want to be there. But then you should find something else to do. I think that if you want it to be a hobby, enjoy it as a hobby. But if you want to say, I'm a business person, this is my business, you got to treat it like a business. And sometimes there are a lot of things, especially considering being your own boss is tough, because I've been in shops where guys are just like, I could run my own business and I could do this myself. And then all of a sudden they go on their own. And next thing you know, it's like a disaster just because they don't have it within them. Some people are not cut out for being in business. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that I've kept myself in terms of, we were talking about mental health. I have struggled with mental health problems. I got my two parents were both mental patients. And I'm not saying that in a funny way. I'm saying in a funny way, but they're both, strict with, mental illness. And I have to be very, very disciplined in terms of my devotion to everything I do. So I'm taking myself seriously and other people take me seriously. Since I was a kid, my dad told me I couldn't be an art major because you'll never work as a business. And I got my first shop and I was in there every single day. Every single day I was there from morning to night and I was working. And I was making sure that I had these very disciplined things because I didn't want people to think I was just fooling around. And now I have people that depend on me and I want this thing to go further. And I put so much in front of me in terms of what I need to do. I'm excited to see everything as this challenge and I'm going to try to overcome it. And then I can find the joy in it being done, So I just think that unfortunately we've blurred the lines between art and business. And are we artists? Are we business people? Or is this a business or is this a side hustle? And it's like, we have this feeling of feeling bad about ourselves because we don't want to be in our shop. Then don't be in your shop. It's easy. I don't think that motivation. This is not the Work For It podcast where I'm going to tell you to, work for it, baby. I'm not doing that. You either want to, if you need to be motivated by someone on
the
podcast.
Combat abrasives make.
If you need to be motivated by someone on a podcast, maybe you should reconsider what you're doing. Is that bad? Seriously.
Nice. I do sort of agree.
Sorry. I think that, it's easy for podcasters to be very let's do it together and let's get our pants on. And, but it's just there are things that we want to do and things that we don't want to do. And if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But don't futz around about it. Do it or don't do it. I don't know where I'm going with that.
There we go.
I wanted to do the anti-answer anyway.
We've sort of started a promo read, so let's just do it.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers, available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Thank you, Brian. 15% off. What a bargain. Right, dilemmas. What have we got, Jeff?
We have a lot of dilemmas, but the last thing is really, if you look at like the professional athletes, they're professional athletes because they work really hard and they're not like bitching about it. They're fucking going in and getting paid billions of dollars because they've worked like dogs. I don't know. Dude, guys, I don't know. I breathed in too much dust today. this one, tough scenarios answered honestly and phony. These are scenarios that you, the listener, can send us in Knife Talk podcast on Instagram. And this one, first one, comes from J.D. Eiler. Tough scenario question. How do you transition from doing all custom work to none other than just saying no? How do you transition from doing no longer taking custom jobs to just making what you want?
Oh, right. Okay. I suppose my answer is going to be very different to you guys because I haven't been in this business as long as you, because I've never had a long sort of custom wait list. Mine was simply I've never really done that. I rarely take custom orders. I like to think of what I have as products. So I'll do the sort of the research and the design phase to actually get a product, and then that product would hopefully become sort of a permanent stock if it sells well, and I just keep making more of them. So I've never actually gone that route anyway, but I know you guys have. So Mareko, I mean, you famously had quite a long, large, you know, a long wait list, particularly after doing the Rogan show and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So how are you reducing that to do more of what you want to be doing?
Yeah, I think the key is being transparent with your communication with customers that you already have, if that's part of your thing. But if it's anybody going forward, like, I would say, you know, just... I guess as you're trying to close down, maybe you close down your books and you're trying to work through your orders, but get to a point where then you're just making whatever you want. It would be foolish not to have somewhere to send those people, even if it's to sign up for maybe a newsletter so that then you send out some sort of email to a group and say, look, this is these are pieces that are available. You know, we have many friends who do this model, basically. It's like a newsletter model. Boot Hill Blades, Jared Thatcher, he does this very successfully, I think. And he sends out, and I think he also still takes customs maybe occasionally, but I know that they send out an email. And so having somewhere to send people or have a store on a website, our friend Andreas Kalani can help take care of you with that. With what is it again, Jeff? It's Full Blast. What?
akinteractive.com/fullblast for 10% off.
But have a store to send.
Up. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be the answer, right?
Yeah. But yeah, you got to have somewhere to send them. And also, you're going to have somewhere to sell your work anyways. So, you know, just be kind and say, you know, keep an eye on my store. Or if you have a newsletter, say, please, I'd love for you to sign up for the newsletter. And this is how it works. I send it out, and when new work's available, and that's it. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
That's a great tip. Email is my biggest sort of sales sort of machine, if you like. I far more sales via email than anything else. And, you know, segregate your lists, you know, to current customers, customers you're chasing, and all these different things, and you can do some really cool stuff. But, Jeff, what about yourself? I mean, you're in the middle of that transition now, really, aren't you?
You know, what's funny is we were in the transition. I was down to 15 knives. I was down to 15 knives until I was completely caught up. And then started taking everything again. And now it's like a fucking tsunami. It's like a fucking giant wave of like, all right, we'll make the mess. That was our old... When Tony and I were working in a restaurant, there was a comptroller who used to help us with the finances and help us with the restaurant in terms of what we need to be doing and stuff like that. And we'd get these people wanted to do a party, and we closed down the restaurant and we would do bids for how much. And I would say something like, "Well, what are we going to do?" And Randy, the controller, would say, "Just make the mess." And so Tony and I say that all the time now. And, you know, now we were so close and, you know, we just decided, you know, there was, you know, it was just, we couldn't do it. So I think that you, I think the key is to just shut down taking orders, fulfill your orders, and then basically what Mareko says. I know that Jonathan Porter does like a small percentage of custom knives, and the sure. rest of them are he'll have a stock knives in the shop. And I like what Jared Thatcher's doing. Jared Thatcher sure. does whatever the fuck he wants. He'll do a newsletter. I'm on that newsletter, and I see what he has, and yeah. he'll do like a batch of 16, 17 knives, different sizes, different shapes, different colors, and they all go. You know, he moves
yeah.
them all.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, so same thing with, I mean, Montana Knife Company, I mean, forget it. I mean, I got one of his knives early in the day, and now he does a drop. He does a drop, and it's like 2 minutes, and it's all, you know, hundreds of knives are gone.
They're gone.
So it's like... It's hard to say no to something like that too. I'm not saying that that's the case every time, but
sure.
I'm just real quick. I'm starting to like the customs because I'm getting like weird requests and just like I just got a guy who wants to do a knife. He wants it to look like his. He wants the colors to look like his BMW, and I kind of like that shit. It kind of like the idea, of like, all right, let's see this asshole, and let's see his fucking car, and then I'm like, I can do
at
that.
At what point are his BMW and his knife going to be together?
Dude, you know what? Do I care? Honestly, it's just like, does he use a chopping board in the car? I don't give a fuck. I mean, it's like, he wants it to match his car. Go ahead. No problem. Nope. I got the red. I got the cherry red. I got the royal blue. I got the black. No problem. Done. No problem. I'll match your fucking car. Sports team. You know, it's all hilarious. I did what, you know what I just did? I just glued up before this guy, this family wanted, they're giving a knife to a friend and it was going to be, they wanted to know if I could do something with the flag of Angola. So I looked up the flag of Angola and I said, all right, yellow, red, and black, no problem. And I fucking put together the flag of Angola. I'm going to put that up next week. No problem. Fun.
Nice.
I wanted to ask you, Jeff, what keeps you from doing kind of the email model, like what? Like what Jared does or like the guys at Bloodroot do. I mean, you kind of do something somewhat similar when you do the collaborations with chefs, but I feel like you're definitely at the point where you have enough draw that you could do something like that.
Well,
don't you
just,
think?
It's funny that you say that because we just made a decision and I'm going to have 11 knives on December 1st and it's going to be by the newsletter. And I will have 11 knives ready to ship on December 1st. So
there you go.
It's all going to be color
Fader knives.
It's all going to be color.
Head over to Fader Knives. Sign up for the newsletter.
Do not sign up for the newsletter. I mean, sure. Because the people listening to this bullshit aren't going to. These are nonsense. These are fools. Yeah. These are fools.
It's not all makers.
These are knuckleheads.
It's not all makers.
They're knuckleheads. Who Max Shamat? You think Max? You think
what
Max
was
in
the dust in that you sniffed today? What? Jesus Christ! What was in that
I'm
dust?
I'm kidding. I'm tired. I'm tired. I was like bad. I was folding hoodies last night, fielding questions. I'll take one. I'll take three. Dibs. Dibs on the XL. Remember. I said dibs.
I Venmo'd
kiss
you.
My yeah. ass, all of you. Take these. I want to throw all these goddamn hoodies into the fucking Hudson. I've had it with this bullshit. This is. There you go. That's the answer. But the answer is I like the idea. I like it all. I guess I'm a whore. What can I say?
Yeah. Go where the money is.
Whatever. All right.
Okay. Any more sort of, more dilemmas, I suppose.
Yes, we have actually a few dilemmas. But it's really, here's one. Here's a dilemma. This one comes from Philip. A fictitious government gives you the choice to pay 15% more in taxes in exchange for you and your children to have free health care and education. Would you pay the extra taxes? Greetings from Sweden.
A fictitious government. That is my current government and the government that the country that I moved from. That's exactly what we do. And I think it's a good model. I think it's a great model. I do believe that people below a certain threshold shouldn't be paying that. I believe people above a certain threshold should be paying more. But yeah, it works well.
You are a socialist. You are fraternité. Was that isn't that in the French motto? Société and fraternité.
You know what I saw this week on TV, a Netflix show called Made. And it shows this single mother who's basically made homeless, and she's struggling to, you know, to find a home and all the rest of it. And it's in the States.
Oh, that looks
and
good.
And I was just looking at just like how it's very, very good. We watched all 10 hours of it within 2 nights.
Oh my God.
I know. It was one of those things where it's like we couldn't not watch the next one. It's brilliant. But it just made me think how different things are in the States. You know, it's a real eye opener for me, at least. Anyway, it was. But I think it's a good idea. Everybody should be paying a tax, which should be then go to help for healthcare. Without a doubt.
Look at you.
Weird that, you know, that countries don't do that, look after themselves. But hey,
after my last quarter of perfectly normal tests, it's shocking how much the bill would be in order to find the baseline of my health. My wife and I were talking about it. She's like, you're looking at like, I mean, all I got, thank God we have health insurance. It was like $30,000 with the fucking bills. If we hadn't paid for, I mean, you know, if you're sick and you don't know it, you're screwed. If you don't have health insurance, screwed.
What would happen in the States? Let's say you don't have health insurance. You're literally on the bones of your ass. You've got no money. You've got nothing. And you're in the shop and you cut your arm like severely. Your arm almost needs amputating. You get to the hospital. You don't have insurance. You don't have any money. What happens?
Well,
surely they don't turn you away.
They don't turn you away. But there's I think, and I'm not, I don't know the exact. There's some people qualify for Medicaid. I'll say Medicaid.
Right.
And it basically is, you know, there are people who do get health insurance that they probably shouldn't be getting, you know, because some of it is like, I do know people who were not citizens of this country, had a heart attack, got fucking fixed up, and then they're on their way. And it's like, it is a giant drain.
But surely that's a good thing, surely.
Not if this is not a tax-paying person. Not if this is a person who's just going to, you know, I have a very strange opinion about healthcare in this country, and a lot of it comes from my wife. Is like there are drains to the healthcare system that should be contributing to healthcare, and there are.
But so you agree that everybody should have private health insurance, and that their taxes shouldn't cover that kind of stuff.
I believe that people who pay their taxes are entitled to the things they're paying their taxes for.
So if you're on a very low income,
What am I, Rush Limbaugh? I mean, I just think that, you know, I think it's important if you're going to. I'm a tax paying person, and I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor. But at the same time, there are people who take advantage. There's take advantage of, you know, the system, and I don't like it. But at the same time, I believe that there should be universal health care. The fact remains is there's not going to be universal health care because we're going to get the shitty health care that you got. Our owner Kaglar told me on the Full Blast podcast he had his colonoscopy. He was wide awake. That's crazy. He had like a pile of tubes up his bum, and he had to watch. And he said it was excruciating. I don't want that. Knock me out. I had to pay the 15% just and get the health care and not have to worry about it, I'd do it.
Yeah. 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 No, I agree. I agree. But I also do believe that those with the low income, you know.
Of course. Yeah. People, you shouldn't throw people out. But at the same time, it's like it is crippling to people. I have friends of mine who are well-to-do. They have cancer in their family, and they're becoming, you know, paupers because dealing with this incredibly terrible thing. I think it's horrible.
It is, yeah.
Horrible.
And a lot of that is down to, you know, this is becoming a different show.
I mean,
show.
For God's sakes, when is it going to be Knife Talk again?
Talk.
Under the Knife Talk.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wait. What was the dilemma?
Would you pay 15%? We covered that. Mareka, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably pay it.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you answer a question. We should have answered the question the same way. Yeah, I'd pay it. Let's go to the next one. Instead, we're like, you know, the McLaughlin group. All right. Here comes from more North Mountain Knives. Two quick dilemmas. Let's just do one dilemma. Would you take credit for someone else's shitty work, or someone else take credit for your best work? Which would you prefer? So you take credit for someone's shitty work, or someone else take credit for your best work?
What a weird world.
Dude,
this would
be. You have no. Listen, let me tell you something. We get some dilemmas that I wouldn't even read to you guys off the air. They're like, usually.
And this one made the cut.
This one made the cut. That's what I'm telling you. Jeez. This one made the cut, and it's not. No offense to North Mountain Knives. I appreciate you getting involved. Some of you guys have some weird sexual bends that you think we're interested in talking to each other about, which I'm telling you, I'm not interested in. So this is one of the better questions.
I'd let somebody else take credit for my better work. I'm not too real precious about it, really. It wouldn't bother me that much.
Look at you.
Well, you know, I do a lot of work where my you know, name isn't even on it. You know, restaurants, they just want their own stamp on. And I'm fine with that. That's
good
fine.
Answer.
As long as they're paying, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's it. What do you think, Mareko?
Yeah, I'd probably do the same. I'd allow somebody else to take the credit for some of my best work.
Me too. Okay, let's go to the next one.
While you're looking through that, I want to tell everybody about the sandpaper that we all use, which is Rhinowet by Indasa. It's the best stuff. It's going to save you time, and if it's saving you time, it's saving you money. So yeah, Indasa Rhinowet, the best sandpaper you can use for any sort of hand sanding that you're doing. And we can get you a discount. If you go to texasfarriersupply.com, they stock it, as well as a bunch of other stuff for knife makers. So go on over, texasfarriersupply.com, have a look what they do. They've got some, you know, real sort of interesting stuff that you wouldn't maybe find with other suppliers as well. It's worth taking a look. And if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off your order. texasfarriersupply.com. Go take a look.
I got two good ones. This one comes from Jack Ray Spears, and he says, here's a tough scenario. You are a father of three, and you have a knife that has to be finished the next day. All three kids have sporting events you want to attend. Do you take the evening to finish the knife or put the family first?
That's an easy one for me.
Mareko, you
go first. You go first, Mareko.
I know your answer, Craig. Your kids are going to go solo, aren't they?
The complete opposite.
You're going to put them in an Uber.
Let Mareko take. Let Mareko take.
Craig's putting his kids in an Uber. See you guys. I got work to do. I mean, au revoir.
I have worked a lot of super late nights, and early mornings trying to get work done for knife shows. And so I think what I would probably do is attend the event, because if it's happening at a reasonable time, it's at or around dinner time, and then put the kid to bed and then go to the shop and work until 4 o'clock in the morning.
There you go.
Craig's going, where's that cab? Where's that taxi cab?
No, the complete opposite.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
We did this thing this week, my wife and I, where we're just struggling with time to get stuff done. We've got a lot of, sort of commitments on the go, and we can't fit everything in, as simple as that. So we did a time audit. So we, you know, all these commitments that we have, all the things that we need to be doing, and the time we have available, and that's it, they just don't fit in. So we just scrapped a lot of things off, and take away the guilt as well. They're gone, that time audit. So, I mean, a bunch of things just, they're gone. I don't have to think about them anymore. It's fine. So, and it got me thinking about, you know, how precious time is. But seriously, it's something that we're never going to get back. So, you know, missing out on kids, you know, big events for, you know, certainly for kids, that are a big event for a kid. I know once you've been to one sports day, you've been to them all. But for a kid, they're always going to remember that. So I think take that time. If it, you know, I think that's more important than money. You can earn money again at a later date or another time, but you're never going to get that time back. You know, it's not as if you can go to a cash point machine and, you know, withdraw more time. That's it. You're dealt with a certain amount of time, and it's decreasing all of the time. So make the most of it. That's what I say.
Well, I think that's great. I'll give you a good answer. This week, what's so funny?
No, go on.
You think I'm gonna send my kid on the Uber?
I think so. Boy,
you got me wrong, Junior. I actually, this week, was the perfect example of this situation. we get the swim meets schedule, and we go over the days that are their home, and I go to the home ones because I can make it get home, walk the dogs, take a shower, and run to the school. This week there was an early one, and I budgeted my day, so I got to the shop a little bit earlier. And then I budgeted my day so I could leave early so I could make sure that I was there. And I showed up right when my kid, who's the captain of the swim team, she's not the greatest swimmer in the world, but she fucking grinds. She's a grinder. I have such respect for her because it doesn't come easy and she works like a dog. She did the 500 meters, which is like 20 Jesus. Laps, which is a brutal situation, especially if you're a kid. And she came in first. And I came wow. in. I wow. came to the school, the pool, right when they started, and I saw my wife, and she's like, how's she doing? I was like, she says, I think she's doing good. Next thing you know, the horn goes, the last lap, and I said, is Lila in first? And they're like, and she's like, I don't know. She hits the wall, the whole team's screaming, and Lila's crying in the pool. I start to kind of sob up, because I'm thinking about like how I'm happy that she's able to kind of like have her own happiness that she gives to herself. And it was like, if I had missed her coming in first place in this grueling event, I would have been very, very upset. And it was it was an awesome moment. I ran home, made a big dinner for when she came home, and it was great. And I love going to the sporting events. It's true, because I remember my kid was born. Now she's about to turn 17, and she's going to be leaving pretty soon. And it's like I'll never forget that meet. It was amazing. So
yeah.
Yeah, nice. The knife can kiss this ass.
I think so, yeah. And to be honest with you, I think if you've got a customer as well and you have a relationship with them, I think even just send them a message to say, look, something's come up. It's really important. This is a family thing. I need to be doing this. It may be a day late.
You don't have to tell these people anything. You just say,
expecting it then, maybe.
You don't have to just say, I'll have it on Friday. It'll be out on Friday. Right. Just okay. Don't worry.
I think
or don't say anything.
Misunderstood the question. I didn't realize it's an either or.
Yeah, it's either or.
Oh yeah, then family all day fucking long.
All the time. You kidding me? Yeah. Kidding me?
When you're sitting on your deathbed or laying or whatever, or crumpled up in a car, you're not going to be thinking about your
crumpled up in a car.
If there's a horrible accident, you're not going to be thinking about that damn knife. You're going to be thinking about your family and the memories that you shared with those people.
I was thinking when you were saying on your deathbed, I was thinking about that's what you should call the grinder bench, that where your
deathbed.
So the grinder's facing up and faces in that little massage hole. It's called the deathbed.
The deathbed.
Goddamn, somebody's got to make the deathbed because that is the perfect name for that fucking thing. Yeah. The fucking Broadbeck deathbed.
And the deathbed pro next year. Yeah.
Dude, someone's got a cough. That is it. That is your next. And don't tag us when you go to the hospital for making the deathbed. That's the name of the deathbed. All right, last question. Go. Good job. Good job, Mareko. You're still towing the line with Broadbeck. You're coming up with new designs every day. Yeah. Vince has got to take you on a tuna trip or something like that. All right, last thing is Mark LeBlanc. Mark LeBlanc says, here's a question. Your knife sales start to drop and dwindle down to almost nothing. What do you do?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you got to get out there. You got to start making more, make knives, have stock. But we talked about this earlier in the show. For me, if you've worked on an email list, you've always got people who are waiting, waiting to buy a knife from you. When the times are good, make sure you are collecting those emails and you're building a sort of attraction for your knives. Don't wait until, it's all good. I've sold all my knives now and start again. The marketing side of things, it needs to work in tandem with the actual production. Jeff, what are you doing?
We get stuck in these ideas that I'm a knife maker. I only make knives. I mean, we put things together. You can put something together that's different. It doesn't have to be a knife just because you say you're a knife maker. I think that there are a lot of people who can make a lot of really interesting things that might be more approachable. That's why we started to do more paring knives and steak knives and oyster knives and things that are a little bit more approachable for price point. I would love to still, I love the idea. I love what you're doing with the H knife, where it's a very approachable price and it's just a great thing. It's something that I'm still waiting for, Craig, because I'm just like, you know, I honestly, it is very craveable and I'm waiting to crave it. So
that's what it's all about. Wait until you're salivating. Yeah, that's what the whole delay is all about.
It's craveable. I mean, that's the thing. You have to make something. And I also believe that you have to be irresistible in terms of what you're making. One of the things about the Color Lab is people are getting crazy about it because it's just like you almost want to like lick it because the colors look very candy-like and it has this, you know, I've been at art shows where I've talked to my wife and she's like, don't you want to touch that? Don't you feel like you have no control? You have to be able to touch what that is. You need to be irresistible, and it might not be knives. It might be something else, but I think that we can figure something out in the meantime.
Yeah. By the way, whilst you're talking about your Color Lab knives, the ones that you did for Josh Prince, they are beautiful, stunning things.
You want to talk about shitting your pants. When you make a couple knives for Josh Prince, it is like nausea time. I was shitting my... I wasn't legitimately, but it was like... I was felt very uncomfortable. And he's just someone I really respect. I mean, he's really, really quite extraordinary. And it was an honor. And I definitely was very proud of how they turned out. So, and he was proud too. I had a nice conversation with him afterwards. It was a very good thing. But when you make knives for other knife makers, boy, they look at the things that the civilians don't look at. Mm. So I was very aware of that.
Yeah, they were beautiful.
Appreciate it,
Mareko. All the work has dried up. What are you doing?
What am I doing? Like now and forever, or have I just gotten into like a branding slump? And all of a sudden, I can't sell anything.
That's the way I took it. Yeah, it's just that the orders have dried up, basically.
Orders have dried up. Yeah, I think. I mean, all right. So yeah, I think if knife making wasn't a thing for me, or I couldn't sell knives anymore, I would probably transition into probably doing something a lot more hyper local. And I have a concept for a knife sharpening business that I think would be super sustainable business. It'd be a lot of work, but. I think I'd probably get into knife sharpening, and like Jeff was saying, like there's a lot of flexibility, and like you don't need to just be making knives. You know, I've made all kinds of earrings, belt buckles. I've made all kinds of goofy shit, and it's all
you're a hustler.
I've been able to sell, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be a hustler.
I'm a hustler.
Figure it out.
I'm a hustler.
That's the best thing about blacksmiths and bladesmiths and makers is your problem solvers. So it's like, this is the easy problem. I mean, if you were like a pillow maker and they were like, no more pillows, then you'd be in problems. You work on a deathbed and you'd be fine. But
quite true. Look, I want to tell everybody about Dharma Steel. We worked with them in the past on their Dharma Steel Chef Invitational. They've got another one coming up on, I think it's November 13th. I think we're going to be doing a live show from there as well. It's just a great, great show. So you can now get involved. You can now sign up ready for the show. So we put that link down in the description. But if you do want to get your hands on some Dharma Steel, you can head on over to their website. You need to register as a customer. You can then use Knife Talk 10 to get 10% off any Dharma Steel that you buy. And we've all seen those beautiful Dharma Steel knives. This is your chance. You can make one too. Knife Talk 10, get 10% off. Right, I really need to go. I do need to go. We're overshooting slightly here already. Just quickly, 2-3 minutes each, what we up to this week. What's our hopes and dreams for the week? Jeff.
I'm very excited for Maker Camp. I can't wait to see all my friends there and tell you all about it on Monday. And I want to finish watching Squid Game.
Oh,
I haven't started it yet.
What are you making a noise for?
You text me saying watch it. It's great. I watched the first sort of 10 minutes of it, and I was just like, I just didn't get it.
You need more than 10 minutes, Squid.
The acting was terrible. It was
dude. It's the most popular TV show of all time.
That just goes to show how many dicks are out there. That's all that shows.
Do you understand? You were a sucker for the Tiger King. You were like the completely. You were Tiger King champion number one.
Yeah, I will give it another go simply because I've heard so many people say it's great.
It's it's deranged. It's about how I mean, we're so used to this antisocial behavior.
Yeah, I will get into it. But yeah, Maid is my choice of the week anyway. It's fantastic on Netflix. Yeah, it's very good. Anyway. Mareko. Your week. What's good about this week? What's coming up? What are you looking
forward to? Yeah, so this week, I'm sitting here recording, and I'm looking at three knives that have handles on them, and they need to be sculpted. And so this week... I'm going to be working on making, actually, putting my Mareko Deep Platen to work and taking some video of my handle sculpting and how I approach handle sculpting. Because I see a lot of great blades out there, but then, I see the handles and it's all out of like beautiful handle material, but some of them are kind of just like the very simple, I guess, kind of just only broken corners. And I think, you know, that's the blade is where the business happens, but the handle is the relationship. And so I want to get some content out there that helps people really try to understand how they can kind of manipulate their machines and get the most out of it. And and I'm going to be doing that again with my Broadbeck tool arm, the Mareko Platen tool arm, and really show how I put that platen to use. And and actually Broadbeck has lowered their prices on their kits to be more competitive in the market. And also, if you put in Knife Talk at checkout at broadbeckironworks.com, you will get a free upgrade when you buy a kit to the Mareko Platen. And you'll be saving yourself a little cash, and they're awesome machines. They're super flexible, and I love mine. And so go check them out again. Knife Talk at broadbeckironworks.com.
Can I just say,
will that work with the Deathbed 2000 too? That
I just want to say 2000. This is 2020, Junior. Listen,
the Deathbed 2000.
I have to say, I am so impressed with the Mareko Platen, and I'm asking you this one question. Because of the 4-inch wheel on the bottom, is it possible that it goes a little bit faster than it should be than the other platen? Like,
no,
I'm feeling like more strength. Like I'm feeling something different.
Yeah, it might be because it's a rubber contact wheel at the bottom. That might also help with, but the speed is really driven by the drive wheel. The torque is all kind of, it's all about the drive wheel. And if you vary the drive wheel, that will effectively change the torque that you get and experience and speed that you experience on the machine.
I'm getting like either it's more torque or more, I'm getting more energy out of the belt. I mean, it's not sounding right, but I was thinking to myself, I think the belt's going faster with the 4-inch contact. I love that. I love the Mareko Platen, by the way. That's all I use. So
nice.
Definitely get it.
I also like how you raise your voice to a higher volume when you say torque.
That's how I do. That's torque. Don't you understand? Don't you understand about audio? I mean, this is the thing. You have to like change cadence. That's why some of these guys on podcasts are so fucking boring, because they talk.
So how was your what did you do? What was going on in the shop this week? Oh, really? Oh yeah. Oh.
You gotta like be a little bit more. You know, highs and lows. And then sometimes, you know, you
dynamic.
Just, you know, you're dynamic. Change your voice. You know, otherwise.
It's like, so what happened in the shop for you this week? Really?
Jeez, you got to have a go at those other podcasters.
Fucking flea bags, what they are. Flea bags.
My week, very quickly. We've got a visitor. We've had visitors this week. My brother-in-law, effectively my brother-in-law, has been here. He's now gone, and one of Amy's friends is here now, up until Tuesday. So we'll be doing some fun stuff, I'm sure, you know, getting out and about. I've got a gig tomorrow night, which I'm pretty pumped for. I bought a bunch of lasers and a smoke machine. Oh my I'm taking God. This very seriously. Nice. It's the best.
You got
it. Yeah, it's the best fun ever.
You got to share
this
some video.
Crazy laser machine and smoke everywhere. It's yeah, we're basically becoming Kiss without the makeup.
That's
I would love
what's
to
happening.
See you in Kiss makeup.
May I yeah. make one request?
Sure.
During the Damasteel Invitational, can you have the lasers and the smoke machine going?
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yes. Yes. Anytime anybody has a sale, the lasers and the smoke machine will come on. Yeah. Because I've got a foot pedal for it as well, so it can be under my desk. Dude, so I can just click the foot, but that's awesome.
If you yeah. had the smoke machine and the lasers while you're riding...
in this little room.
On the Deathbed 2000, you'd be the badass motherfucker of all time.
Right,
gotta
that's happening.
My knives, man.
That's happening. The Damasteel Chef Invitational. We'll do a live show, and I'm gonna have the freaking lasers and the smoke machine. It's all gonna be happening. It's all gonna be going off. Yes. Okay.
Well, good luck, okay. man. Good luck. Have a great time.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm really looking forward to it. It's we're doing a sort of full hour and a half set as well. So wow. it's a big one.
Will there
so,
be video?
Yeah, very happy. I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure people will be. We've got a photographer come in who's taking stills, video, I'm sure people will be. And we'll be all over the socials, you know.
What will you be wearing?
Funny enough, that was the last, we had a rehearsal yesterday, and the guys were like, there's a photographer coming, what are we wearing? And I'm like, fuck, I always wear just fucking jeans and a black t-shirt. You know, I'm not going to deviate from that, so yeah. Classic rock
what
and roll
kind of
attire.
How are you going to do your hair? Is that a weird question? I mean, you know.
The same as usual. Oh, nothing different. Okay. The only difference is, and it's not for an aesthetic reason, but I've now started wearing contact lenses instead of my glasses. Simply because I sweat as I'm on stage because, you know, you're singing and the lights and all the rest of it. And my glasses keep falling off. And it's not very rock and roll, you know. Yeah. You know, using your middle finger to push your glasses up, you know, all the time. It's not very rock and roll. So too, yeah, so that's the only Holly difference. Apart from that, it looks as if I'm going to work for the
How
day.
How about one
it's,
earring? You know, would you consider one?
A big feather like Mr. T.
One earring. That would be sweet. No. Like maybe to a nose would. Ring and then a chain going from the earring to the nose ring. You'd look so good with that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Douchebag. Anyway. That's the douchebag ripcord.
I need to be going. Everybody, have a great week. Thank you all for listening. And we shall speak to you all again at the same time next week. Bye for now. Remember to subscribe and also leave us a review as well and like a star rating on whatever app you're using. Because it really does help us, you know, to be, you know, found by other people. And the more people listening, the more questions we get and the more sort of interactive we can make it. So, yeah, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody. Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Okay, I think we're done. Okay. I don't have time for an after show even, I'm afraid.
Fine.
I'm sorry. I shall speak to you both
is
next
this
week
the,
or in a week,
this
I'm
the
sure.
after show?
This is the after show. Yeah, this is how exciting the after show is, saying bye-bye to each other.
See you later, guys.
Right, yes, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5, then buy one get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.